we're back. Where's my friend Dave? Yeah, you see a microphone that might fit that face over there?
I think that looks good, too.
Number two. Let's check that out.
Checking it.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Well, all right. This is Carlos, and I'm going to just start by the truth. I just flew in, and we were driving through Kapaa around 3:15, and my wife said, "Boy, you look relaxed." And I said, "What are you talking about? Bumper-to-bumper traffic." And she goes, "Well, you're on the radio in a few minutes." And I kind of forgot. But
Welcome back.
It's good to be back. Good to know that the wheels keep turning. But thank you to Ya and all the boys and probably some girls out there. You guys have groupies now that are showing up every...
How many people does it take to run a radio show?
I don't know. Depends on the show. So anyway... I had wanted to go very deep, kind of deconstructing the nature of mainstream news and the Santa Barbara shooting, et cetera. I think I'm going to do that next week because I will probably track down some guests and go a little deeper. But I want to open the phone lines today, first of all, and say, Kauai, what is on your mind? Who are you voting for? Are you not voting? Why? What are the most important issues? And where are we going? Do you have a favorite candidate? Do you have someone you hope doesn't get elected? Anyway, so it is just open phone lines. It's call-in shows, KKCR. Carlos, I am kind of covering right now while the station figures out what to do in the time slot that Felicia did such a wonderful job in the last couple of years. So this is KKCR, and it's 826-7771. My friend Dave is with me today, and we'll just be enjoying your call. So call us up if you got something on your mind. Love to hear it. Play a little music, get settled in, let the plane flight fall off my bones, and we'll be back after this. If I remember how to do it.
Song that you could sing along to, but hey little girl, maybe someday, at least that's what all the good people will say. Hey little girl, now look what you've done, you've gone and stole my heart and made it your own. You stole my heart and made it your own. Hey little girl, black and white and right and wrong, only live inside a song I will sing to you. You don't ever have to feel lonely, you will never lose any tears. You don't have to feel any sadness when you look back on the years. How can I look you in the eyes and tell you such big lies? The best I can do is try to show you how to love with no fear. My little girl, you've gone and stole my heart and made it your own. You stole my heart and made it your own.
To the grave, 'cause I'm a gangster. A gangster of love. I'm a gangster. Gangster of love. Now look here. When I go into a bar, girls from near far say I'm a gangster. A gangster. gangster of love. I jumped in my white house Cadillac, I rode across the borderline. I rode 55 girls and kissed them all at the same time. Took 25 to 30 and put them all on a freight with $1 million reward for me and each and every state. The sheriff says your name, Stevie Guitar Miller, in a very deep voice, and I said, yes, I'm brother sheriff, and that's your wife in the back of my horse. I can't help it. I'm a gangster. I can't help it.
If you're all in.
someone to meet. If you need someone, she's a Quicksilver girl, a lover of the world. She spreads her wings and she's free.
Well, we had a caller ask that we keep not talking. So this might be a not talking show today. I have my buddy Dave in the studio helping me out here today. And we're having a quiet conversation about guns and gun rights and gun media and pro guns and con guns. And anyway, but it's such a mellow day. And I love that. The guy called in. I said, do you want to go on the air? And he said, no, I'd really enjoy it if you just kept playing music and didn't talk. And we're KKCR, we listen some days. So we might just keep not talking for a while. But the number is 826-7771. And I'm going to get a nice little selection of music. But, of course, the moment you want to call up and bring up a conversation, we'll get going. But for the meantime, we'll just keep playing a little bit of music. And I'm kind of put some stuff together. Dave said, oh, we don't want to get too controversial on the air. And I said, are you kidding me? This is what we're here for. So anyway, I'm going to keep playing some music, and it seems like that vibe is kind of going well right now. So we'll fade back in and keep on going with the Allman Brothers for now. They're there somewhere. Come on, Allman Brothers. There they go. Oh, that was harsh. That was a bad fade. I apologize for that. I'm going to take a few phone calls offline, see if anyone wants to go on the air. We'll be back. We got somebody that wanted to make an announcement about a meeting tonight. Are you with us?
Yep.
What's going on tonight you want to share?
Am I on the air here?
You're so live. You're so live, and it's not quite 5, but...
That's perfect. Well, it's good that it's not quite 5, because it is a meeting that is starting at 5 in Lihue at our community college. It is the Cocay State Advisory Council.
Oh, boy.
State Park Advisory
okay,
Council.
Okay, good.
And they're meeting at OSET Room, I don't know, C and D, I think it is called, the OSET Rooms back there. I think they are to the left of the... main theater as you enter the community college, but maybe other people know where the OSET rooms are better than I do. But the State Park Advisory Council is meeting from 5 to 7 this evening, and we'll be discussing a couple things on the agenda are trying to get the state to open up additional vacant lots for the community to have access to in some way.
Would that be to park in, build, camp, hike, open a concession?
No, more like, well, there are the cabins right now that okay. are up there, the leased cabins that there are somewhere around 100, I think, as a ballpark figure. But there seems to be more demand than there is supply, and a lot of especially local families really want to have access to a way to stay overnight in Kokea, other than the state cabins that they lease, that they rent out overnight. So this is additional leased lots that they're discussing, but what that looks like is part of the whole discussion, where those lots would be, how they may or may not be developed, who would be able to have them, under what conditions, and so forth. It's all part of the discussion, I believe.
Is this one of those type of meetings where it's a community meeting, but they basically tell us what we as a community are already doing?
Is it a discussion
about what could happen? Is it a community input meeting?
It's a great thing to ask, Carlos. The thing with the Cocay State Park Advisory Council is there is no they. It is a we. It is comprised of community members who are all volunteers.
Okay, I see where we're going.
It is a fact-finding and community outreach organization that is, in essence, essentially there to ask the community's input so that we can most appropriately, the advisory council can most appropriately try to engage with state parks and DLNR in an appropriate fashion towards what the community sees as the best, you know, most dealing with important issues in the state park.
I think what I missed was the advisory board.
Advisory council. There's no teeth to it. There is no, the council has no authority to do anything but gather information, and then with all of their mana'o and will and accumulated interaction with the state park people, who have been more and more willing to work with the community on these things.
Are you involved with the advisory board, Eric?
I am. I'm one of the members.
So what I'm remembering, just to be in all honesty real here, is I took a sabbatical for a little over a year and a half. So the last I remember, there was this constant struggle over the years where they were trying to get a locked gate or allow concessions or do this expansion. So this is a completely, you guys are the community, and that's why there is no they, and you're working together to come up with some great ideas and work with the state, etc.
That's perfect, and that's perfectly fine. Let me give you a 1 minute catch up on what you were talking about there.
Take as many minutes as you'd like.
Okay, no, that's, I appreciate that.
I'm out of the loop.
There has been this ongoing state park master planning process that has been going on for probably 10 years at this point. And the idea is obviously to have some kind of visioning for what the state park should look like 20 years from now, 25 years from now. And the Cocay State Park Advisory Council was created as part of the process that happened when the leased cabins were renewed to the leaseholders who had them. And that was a bill that was passed by the legislature. And Gary Hooser was one of the proponents of this bill. And part of that bill back in, I think it was 2006, that authorized the state to negotiate directly with the current leaseholders to address those leases that were expiring, was to create the Cocay State Park Advisory Council to be able to address further concerns about cabins with issues with the cabins, as well as other concerns in the community. So since the advisory council was formed about 7 years ago, the major crux of its work has been this master plan, because the cabin lease renewal was a foregone conclusion at that point. So the next big issue was this big master plan. And about a month ago, finally, the advisory council came to a final draft of that master plan after a ridiculously long and arduous.
We're kind of losing you, Eric. Are you driving or moving?
Let me pull over here. I am driving, Sam.
But we understand you're probably using a speakerphone and a hands-free headset, or your passenger's holding
it. Of course I am. I'm trying to get to the meeting, but let me pull over for a minute.
Okay, thank you. What sacrifice?
You Can you hear me now at the moment?
Yes, we can.
Okay. All right. So the advisory council finally came up with a final draft master plan, and agreed with the state on every aspect. They were actually very willing to work with the community on a lot of the language, changing it from being about revenue generation was the buzzword, and changing it more towards conservation and resource management and that kind of thing. The only real sticking point where we finally had to agree to disagree was with that entry station, that entry gate, the gate. And the state is insistent upon going forward with that in some fashion.
So they want to control the access.
Well, they say, and a lot of that has been changed, too, to make it not nearly as much about access as making money off of fees from all of the visitors.
But so there's a small space that you have to drive or walk or ride your bike through.
Well, the answer is, as the discussion has gone, the gate will only be manned and up and down, if you will, during daylight hours, and will only be taking fees from tourists. From visitors. And so locals, however they are going to work it out, will basically be able to just drive right around and come and go with no controls on their access to their state park. And that was a huge sticking point because people were really, really worried about gating off Coquea, if you will, another gated community, reducing access to cultural activities, to hunting activities, to staying in your cabin as you see fit, and so forth. So the state has agreed in language to keep this gate a daytime situation that will minimize interruption to normal enjoyment of the park. Now, where the gate will be, exactly what it looks like, when they will put it up, are all still totally unknown.
Is there any fear of mission creep, though, by any of the people in the
group? Of course there is. There's always fear of that, and that's why we have to always be vigilant. And that's why this is all just a plan. It's all just words. And the people in the community and the advisory council have to watch very carefully to make sure that all of these things are actually adhered to in reality, not just you know, on paper. You know, part of this is that we are now going to be able to take a lot of their developments, if you will, out of the capital improvement project, I believe was the term they used, where they could pretty much just write blank checks and widen roads and pave and do whatever they want and really no community input.
And no oversight, sounds
like. No oversight, no notification, if you will. And so supposedly with this master planning process and with the advisory council being engaged with the DLNR, there will be less likelihood of those kinds of things happening. Board of Land and Natural Resources has to approve this draft master plan that the advisory council sent them, and I'm actually not certain exactly where that is, you know, in that process with them approving it. And the other issue, interestingly, is that at the moment, I think we have a brand new member of the Board of Land and Natural Resources as the Kauai representative. And his name is Tommy Oi, O-I. And I just suggest people maybe Google him or find out about Tommy. He's an interesting person who's been in local politics and as a state employee, I believe, in several capacities. So it'll be interesting to see how Tommy works with the community as their land board representative.
Well, thank you so much to you and all the people who take these unpaid community kind of oversight positions, and not a paid position, but you go to the meeting, people show up. So once again, it's tonight, it's at 5 o'clock, so conceivably you are driving down there on your way.
That's right.
And so I do remember the last time I was following this, we actually, I say as a community we kind of won where we stalled both development and the gate. It was quite a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. And so it sounds like the gate thing has happened. Is there any idea what type of funding fee they're thinking about charging?
They're talking about $5 a car, I believe, for the tourist cars. And then they also are working with the bus companies and taxi companies and those things to work out an appropriate fee schedule for the people who are using alternative ways to go enjoy the park. And then the final sticking point with all this is, of course, where they put that gate. And right now, the Department of Transportation has full authority over the state highway all the way up to the entry to the state park there.
Okay.
And so seeding that, you know, if they put an entry gate somewhere farther down the hill, as they are suggesting they might like to, creates another whole issue within state departments of whose authority is this and who maintains these things and all of that. So,
well, I think a lot of us are just suspicious. We're a little skeptical and suspicious. Of course, you've got the constant battle between conservation on one end, where ultimately it's so conserved that the public is not allowed to even enjoy the area, but it's being protected. And then you have revenue generating, you know, exploitation at the other extreme, and, you know, different factions of people.
Well, and it's very interesting because then it becomes who are the people in different places. And the advisory council, if anyone looks up who the members are all certainly highly respected members of the community who have nothing but the well-being of the community's asset and resources. I'm quite sure of that. But there are people who could be appointed to these positions as political appointments to rather undermine, you know, the good intentions of an advisory council,
right,
and so forth. So everyone has to be very vigilant as to who the members of these organizations are, and also who the people on the other side of the table as the state park representatives, if they're acting in good faith as well.
Well, fantastic. And just to wrap it up, 5 o'clock. It's
5 o'clock, the 5 to 7, so it's a little late now, but
okay.
Come down, even if it's 6. We will certainly be taking public testimony. It's often taken towards the end of the meeting. So we the most important thing that council does is tries to get the word out and wants people to show up and let us know what they see and what they think and what's important to them, because they set the agenda here.
Well, I'm just getting back to the swing of things on the show, and I want to kind of keep it within Felicia's spirit of really having a lot of local focus. So next Tuesday or the following Tuesday after that, if you'd like, I'd love to get maybe a couple of minutes update in the studio or on the phone to let us know what happened.
I would be happy to do that. Thank
That's
you, Carlos.
Great. Thanks
Appreciate
a lot.
It.
Yeah, and thank you to you and all the people out there that volunteer their time and energy on stuff like this.
It takes a
community.
Village.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right,
Aloha.
My friend. Aloha. All right. So, okay, I'm settling in after my plane flight here. 826-7771. We've got a toll-free number, 866-275-1112. And I want to say aloha to Surrey, British Columbia, Sunnyvale, California, San Francisco, Tucson, Grants Pass, Oregon, Reading, PA, probably. Sounds like the railroad. Waipahu, Hawaii, Kaneohe, Tokyo, Japan, Petaluma, Carlsbad, California. A lot of people listening online. Don't be shy. We're going to be playing music, but we'd love to get some more phone calls. I've got 2 minutes of station business we're going to do, and the phone is lighting up a little bit. So I'm going to play this, and hopefully we've got some callers that want to talk. 826-7771 or toll-free from anywhere in the country, 866-275-1112. And we'll be back after this, and we'll take your phone calls. It's about just a little less than 2 minutes, so I'm going to answer the phone call blinking right now. So don't go away if that's you.
Kauai Canvas, professional gallery-quality Giclée canvas printing and digital image capture now available on Kauai. Managing print flow, stretching, and even crating. More information at 212-6971 or online at kauaicanvas.com. Kauai Canvas. Stretch your imagination.
Island Metals, Kauai's one-stop shop for all things metal roofing and siding. Manufacturing custom orders to your exact specifications in just 1 to 2 days. Right here on Kauai. Contractors and homeowners welcome. More information at 246-4600, online at islandmetals.com, or at our shop in Honolulu. At All Island Metals, we have you covered.
Kapa'a Rotary Club presents Taste of Hawaii 2014, the ultimate Sunday brunch. Sunday, June 1st, at Smith's Tropical Paradise, starting at 11:30. Over 40 restaurants, 10 beverage vendors, and 14 musical acts spread across the 30-acre tropical park. Tickets available online at tasteofhawaii.com or by calling 346-7095.
Kauai Dance Center presents World Inner Motion Dance Show Extravaganza, Friday, June 6th, starting at 5:30 p.m. at the War Memorial Convention Hall. A multimedia and live performance by 75 talented dancers from Kauai Dance Center. Original choreography and music in ballet, hip-hop, and contemporary dance. Spectacular costumes and a film and light show. See what the new Eyes Wide Open Productions Arts Center, the home of Kauai Dance Center, can accomplish with dance and multimedia all under one roof. More information at 823-9588 or online at kauaidancecenter.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
And we're back. We do have a caller that had a question about the previous caller. And I do want to let people know, if you ever call in, you're never going to be put on the spot. And I won't even challenge opinions either way, or, you know, it's not a left-right, Repub-Dem, any kind of show like that. We're just here for you, and it's kind of a community information show. Once again, 826-7771. And we will be talking probably 4:45 on about what happened in Santa Barbara with the shooting, but more from a position of deconstructing the news and media and possibly manipulation toward political and social policies. But right now we've got a caller, and I think I've got you on right now. Are you with us?
Yes, I found you. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, hi. So I'm dealing with someone from LA. You're from LA right now?
I grew up on Oahu.
Okay. But you're calling from the west side right now. So
yes.
What were your questions?
I'd like to be very, very clear here. The person who just called, can you please tell us his name?
Well, I know his first name is Eric, and I'm assuming it was Eric Coopersmith. He's probably still driving right now and listening, but I can't be sure. But I think I recognize his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Does he have a show?
He does not have a show that I'm aware of, but he does help the station out. I think he's in more of a management capacity, if that's the Eric that I'm thinking
he's
of.
He's very well informed, and he's on his way to do civil and due diligence, which is to attend. Was he driving to a... where was he going?
He was actually driving to the meeting, and I'm probably not going to say the name right, but the KOKA Advisory Board. I'm hoping that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's 5:00 at KCC, and I believe he said it was at the OCT or OSET Theater, but I think that will probably be obvious when you got to KCC if you were someone that was going to be driving
mm-hmm.
there.
What time does that start?
Starts at 5:00, so you're a little late from LA.
KOKA Advisory Board, that's KCC's, correct?
Yes, but they're just hosting the space from what I believe.
This is very important because the more that we can, as Plexus teachers, start to align with each other's groups of communities, the quicker we can change things. Eric's doing something very important. He's actually attending something.
Yeah, he's walking the talk.
We have to show our faces at these important, what would you call this? Where is he going again?
Well, he's going to the meeting tonight. I believe there's a group of people that has been working in a structured manner with the state, possibly DLNR too, but I assume from what I heard just primarily the State Parks Department, to decide the future of things like the access in KOKA, the gate, where the gate would be placed, opening of lots, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been off the air for about a year and a half, but I was on 15 years before that, and there was a constant kind of a creep of, it seemed like turning KOKA into a revenue-generating unit
mm-hmm.
instead of a crown jewel of beauty and natural
mm-hmm.
wilderness, etc. So it looks like it's still happening. But luckily, we've got people like Eric that actually, you know, get off their job and drive into a meeting and go participate, like you're saying.
You guys don't know how important this is because my name's Erica.
Yes, we do.
I grew up on Oahu in Nu'u'anu Valley. And I have seen that the paid-off versions of this, as you say, creep into the watershed. This is incredibly super important, guys. You don't know what it's like to grow up in a watershed and see people's private homes being built way, way up close to the mountain. So that's why I called. This is extremely important to the the resources of the island upon which we gather our existence. We're like a little small planet here. We have to start watching. And so I've said my little bandstand enough. So.
Yeah, but I hear you just saying that it's just very important to connect, be part of the community, you know, be the net that kind of holds everything in or holds everything out that we want, and make sure we don't allow things to just happen, you know, to basically turn things into revenue instead of a resource. Yeah, I think you disappeared. I don't know where you went. Are you there?
I'm here. Can
oh,
you?
There you go.
Oh,
yeah.
Here.
Okay.
Good.
I just actually was over on Oahu's north shore past Haleiwa in, what was the name of that place? I've just...
Where?
Mokulea.
Mokulea. I was actually staying at one of the little camps out there for a week, and it was just amazingly beautiful. And then we would drive into Haleiwa, and it used to be, in the summertime, it was kind of slow. It was just packed. Thousands of people. It was
just
packed.
We have to try to understand what the value revenue is happening right now, guys.
Yeah. Well, I think we do. I think a lot of us do. You know, we're feeling
it. How do you recognize it? I mean... You know, we have this compatriot going to the, where was he going again?
He was going to the meeting at KCC,
Black
White
seven.
Community College, 5 to
right.
7. But, show,
we don't go there. We have to be able to tell them we're the people, we're the living Hawaiians. We're the ones, we're here now.
Well,
how
I don't
do
know.
Organize this?
I don't know if
you
followed Felicia's show for the last year and
there?
A half.
I know she's. Mm.
Well, she actually had to step down because she's going to be running for county councilor in the upcoming election, and it would not be fair if somebody had a radio show that was paid for by the community and public to continue. You know, so she actually stepped down until the outcome of the election. We'll miss her. But she really did a great job of focusing on local Kauai issues, and she had a lot of great guests, and it was a great year and a half, and a lot, you know, everyone here is pretty focused. I think there's nobody that's not in agreement with you that's involved with the station, but anyway, what are other things out on the west side that are feeling kind of important or
I'll
urgent
I'll say
here?
Frankly, quite completely, I am here living in LA because I'm sitting here, pardon me for saying be so bluntly, I'm in a wheelchair because I have some sort of immune disorder, and it's related to the fact that when I was a child, I grew up on Oahu, as I said, in Haleiwa, and our family's home was in Wailua Bay.
Okay.
And so we're running out there in the fields when they're dumping DDT out there in the cane fields, okay? So here I am, and I'm, you know, you guys wouldn't want to be me. So I would say this is the time for us to prevent this problem that's happening with what's happening. Chemicals are not healthy, and eventually you will pay the price. You decide when you want to pay it.
What is the autoimmune disorder that you have?
You're sitting in a wheelchair because you've got, it's called multiple sclerosis.
Okay.
It's up there in your spine, and you can't walk.
Wow. Well, I know there are a lot of people both in and out of the station that have been highly focused on what's happening on the west side, both with spraying of pesticides, herbicides, fertilizers, as well as genetically modified food. Not even whether it's right or wrong in theory as science, but how much the community should be allowed to participate in the process when the county government or state government makes deal with large corporations to provide jobs, which is part of what they do, but at what cost? So I think everyone's eyes are being opened to how we are all involved, and they're learning to look long-term because it's not just about right now. It's about 20 years from now or 30 or 40, like someone such as yourself who was possibly exposed to some of these things, and here are the ramifications.
Definitely exposed, pardon me.
Well, thank you. Thanks for your passion, and we're right on board with you.
Okay, yeah. Just wanted to remind you that it does happen eventually, and I totally support Mahalo. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Yeah, thanks for calling. You have a nice voice.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. KKCR, I'm hoping you want to hop on the air.
Yes.
I know this voice right off the bat.
Do you?
Yeah, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just kind of listening in, and I'm probably going to state the obvious. But,
okay, please.
You know, all I hear from the people about Kokea is what you were saying about the development and stuff. You know, the I never hear about them trying to, you know, what you guys are talking about is help out the resource, the watershed, by removing the invasive species and planting others and having the state guys and whomever else involve the community in it. So me, I go up and I pull the Kahili ginger out on my own. So my sort of thing is to say to everybody, there's a lot of different ways you can participate in protecting that place, because they're not going to stop trying to monetize it, in my opinion. Which
it just keeps going, doesn't it? It's just year after year, you just think one thing's solved and then it comes from another direction.
Yeah, I mean, it's about getting control, getting some income coming in, and then developing the land so that you can make even more money. But there's nothing in there that I hear about healing the land. And I've walked every named trail up there, many unnamed trails, and I've seen it all. I've driven out on every road all the way out to Kekaha GMA and all the hunting trails up there and everything. And it really needs it bad. So to those out there that are listening, while you're up there, educate yourself on what's good and what's not. And if you don't know, don't pull it. But if you know, pull it out and help this stuff heal. That's kind of my thing, because I don't think they're ever going to speak of healing the land and the watersheds up there.
Boy, I am blanking out on the first name of a gentleman that worked with schools from all over the island. His last name is Boynton, and I'm so embarrassed because I knew him. He passed away actually up there on the job, but we were actually able to go up there with several different years of children, and we pulled a lot of that ginger out that gets invasive and clogs the small streams, etc. So you've done that yourself, huh? Just on your own?
Well, yeah, I go up. If you go to the end of Sugi Grove Road, there's lots of trails off the end there, and that stuff goes, and those ridges go to the Wainiha Valley Wall, and so I go hike up there all the time. And as you get closer and closer to the Wainiha Wall, the bogs start, and there's too much water, but the Kahili ginger is still trying to invade that area. So I go up there just to enjoy the beauty and, like, get away from everything. But, yeah, while I'm up there, I try to pull them up from the highest up. It's not really doable down by Kauai Koi Stream Crossing or anything like that. Mm-hmm. That's going to take large groups of people, long periods of time.
And there are a lot of groups, actually, that go up there and do that on a fairly regular basis, too. And hopefully someone, maybe Akamai from the listeners, can call in and just remind me who it is. And I cannot believe I forgot Mr. Boynton's name, but...
Yeah,
boy, just great people up there, and it is. It's a treasure, and it's, you know, on one hand, if you over monetize it, on the other, if you create such conservation that's never touched, never used, then the young people don't get to see that pristine, you know, alternative to life as we know it. And I think it's important to find a middle ground.
Well, I was kind of reminded of what's going on in Maui. The whole idea to monetize it reminds me of what they did to Haleakala a long time ago. We used to go up the Haleakala free to the top. And then they monetized it. And then outside Haleakala Crater, there's these areas and that you used to be able to hike to. And then one is now called the Hanavi Forest Reserve. And you just can't go there unless you're part of the government or part of them. There's no, like, I tried to go up and help and say, look, I'll help you pull weeds. I'll help paint your sheds up there that you do your science from. I'll help this. And they're like, no, you can't help us. So that's another thing that I would highly suggest here is if places do get like that, because if you really know where to look, there's some absolute pristine areas here. Like the invasive species is very low. But don't shut it off like that, because guys like me are just going to go, period.
Dave Boynton, that's who I just popped back in my head. Well, but the other side is to make sure that you know what you're doing and you're working with people that know what you're doing, because I remember there was a story in the news about 6 months ago where a cleaning person came in and actually threw away a priceless work of art because it looked like junk. So it's important to know what we're doing, too, but your point is well taken.
Don't take it. That's the rule.
We had a caller. We just lost him. 826-7771. Well, thanks, and lucky you to get out there and be able to enjoy that country.
Well, actually, to finish up, it's not luck. It's you got to want to do it, and you got to go.
Yeah.
That's simple as that.
Well,
thank you
important.
For your time.
All right. Thank you.
Aloha.
All right. Well, we're just casually taking phone calls. And, Dave, anything pop into your mind?
Yeah, that last caller had a lot of pride, and that's a special thing on this
It's nice. You know, we are often so disempowered because, you know, it just gets complicated when you have the public get involved. It's, you know, a lot of times the state and the federal mentality, you know, probably a lot of the best intentions, but, you know, it gets messy. You got to have unions or you got to have structure or organization.
When they close the gates to the public, but they're allowed in. Yeah, I got a problem with that.
Mission creep. We got another caller, 826-7771. Anything at all, feel free to change the topic. What's on your mind? Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Eric again. First, I wanted to thank Erica for her and kind words.
Is this Eric Coopersmith?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
you are absolutely correct.
Okay, I thought that was you, but I wasn't sure.
No, absolutely correct. I fully support the previous caller, but I would like to caution people not to go into forests and start picking stuff.
We covered that at the end, yeah.
Well, those daycare guys are going to show up and make your life really miserable if you're not careful.
Yeah.
They like permits. Don't go picking things. Don't go harvesting. I mean, we all like to do that, but unfortunately, there are rules, and I just want to caution people to not go vigilante because they're trying to do the right thing and get themselves into trouble.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay,
so
make sure you know what the rules are and play by the rules and please try to take care of the resource.
Eric, real quick, how do people get in touch with either you or someone from that organization you're working with if they've got questions?
The easiest way for people to do that is there is a Facebook page for the Coquay State Park Advisory Council. So if you just go to Facebook and put that in the search, and it'll come up, and you'll be able to contact us. You'll be able to look at other people's comments and find out about meetings. And we've posted the draft master plan there, as well as other interesting information that comes up from time to time.
And there are a lot of groups already doing professionally and with knowledge base what the previous caller was talking about. So if
Absolutely.
I think if you're so moved to go get your hands dirty, there are all sorts of people, and your Facebook page would probably be a great place to start. And now I'm going to remember CASEPAC, Coquay State Park Advisory Council. So
there you go. Advisory Council is what it is. That's
right.
And the organization that does a lot of that is Hui'olaka up there. They've
okay.
Kind of
Thank you.
That.
I'm blocked on that. I just... Okay.
Yeah, they've been kind of the clearinghouse for a lot of the volunteer organized cleanups and trail work and that kind of thing up there.
Thanks, Eric. All right.
You're welcome.
Eric
Thank
Coopersmith.
You.
Okay, we've got another caller, 826-7771. Thank you guys for calling in. It's starting to warm up here. I'm like, you know, it's been a year and a half since I've been sitting in the chair, so... Oh, we lost him right at that last second. 826-7771. I might play a little bit of music unless anybody wants to call in. But seriously, the main point of the show, at least in the meantime, till KKCR decides what they're going to do with this two-hour slot, is to just have open airwaves so you can call in and share your thoughts about any of the issues on Kauai or happening in the state or nationally or even around the planet, such as Ukraine or Nigeria, etc. 826-7771, and I've got some stuff I want to start getting into, but I'm not ready to do it today, so I don't want to fake it. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey,
aloha.
Is this Carlos?
Yes, it is.
Carlos, it's Susan from Savage Shrimp.
Hey, Susan, how you doing? Yeah.
Good, it's nice to hear you on the air again.
I'm a little clunky, I'm out of practice, but it'll come back, like riding a bike.
You're fine, but... You know, I just want to make a comment about Coquay.
Okay.
How many, number one, is on the advisory council, the Coquay Advisory Council, how many Hawaiians are on that council? The last time I looked, everybody's last name was pretty Caucasian.
I got a challenge for you. Let's cut to the chase and go right to the deeper underlying inference.
Okay. It's Hawaiian property is the way I feel about it.
Yeah, and so that would be a sad thing if they were disincluded from that process. They should probably have a primary seat at the table. Yeah,
you know, they've already lost their homes, their family homes up there that they went to for a century. Some of them.
Now, are you speaking from knowledge of something you've read or heard or experienced in talking with people?
No, I know for sure.
Firsthand. Okay.
There are people that had cabins up there, that families had cabins up there, that they got taken away from them.
Right. When I was gone, I do remember there was some contention about how that had been handled and the outcome
of it, but I really don't know enough to talk about it with any knowledge. So please go on.
But what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about in the last, say, 20 years when it's been so outrageous. I'm talking about years and years ago.
Oh, historically. Okay.
Yeah, Manifest Destiny. Historically, this has happened. As we all know, if you're afraid to admit, this property that they're talking about putting a gate on doesn't belong to the state of Hawaii.
Mm, very good point. Okay.
It belongs to the Hawaiian people. Mm. You know, they're the ones who should be putting they're the ones who should be sitting on the council, you know, and putting, not people that have millions of dollars and own homes up there.
So your feeling is it's already weighted against them, and even moving forward into the future, it's kind of setting a tone that is going to be disinclusive more and more and more as time progresses.
Well, I think if they put a gate on something that hopefully in mine and yours lifetime, I don't know if this will be the case, but we'll see a sovereign nation exist here. And wouldn't that be a shame if their land, that's their land, had a gate there?
Well, it certainly wouldn't be the first place.
No, it won't be the first one. You're right. But now, you know, it just can't happen.
Go to that meeting.
Yeah, I'm on my way.
Great.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Okay, anyway,
we're going to have Eric in or someone from KSPAC next week to kind of get an update. But your point is very well taken. And we actually just spent a week over far out around the corner on the North Shore, way past Haleiwa. And, you know, we had a week to really sit there and think about, you know, it's something I want to get into on the show as we progress. Those of us, you know, not of Hawaiian ancestry that live and work and have business here, what we need to really embrace what's going on. And it gets confusing sometimes. And I'm going to be honest. I have a business on the island. And so it's like, well, okay, I live here. You know, my kids are born and raised here, but I'm not from here. And, you know, I feel like I need to figure out a way to move forward and integrate the knowledge and understanding of what happened with how I'm living my life right now. We were kind of blessed to be able to spend a little time over there with a very solid Hawaiian man. And I just said, hey, you know, here's our dilemma. We've got business here.
Exactly.
We live here. I don't want to leave. I don't want to just throw my business away and sell it. But, you know, at some point, maybe that would be the case if the sovereignty issue gets decided. And I would support that. But I really want to explore that, you know, because a lot of people that own business that aren't of Hawaiian ancestry, they put their head down. They have good hearts, but they put their head down because the whole thing is so complicated. And I'd like to explore that.
I would too. Yeah. I mean, that would be, the older I get and the longer I've lived here, I just, you know, we really have to deal with these people that have, this has been their land for a long time. We can't ignore it anymore. You know, rise up, for them to rise up, and all of us to rise up with them and get behind them.
I think you're right, though. I think we'll see it in our lifetime. I mean, you got the phones blinking, so good job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you. KKCR, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on a topic that the lovely lady was just bringing up.
Thank you. Go ahead. It's all you.
If anybody can see that we're repeating history, right now it's happening right in front of your face, because a long time ago, a white person came in on a boat, bought all the land from the Hawaiians, and took everything and screwed everybody. The same thing's happening again. Hawaiians, wake up. Look what's happening on the west side. They're buying all your land, and they're screwing you out of it. And it's a repeat of history.
Yeah, I asked my friend over on the north shore of Oahu, I said, where do you begin? And he said a good place for people that are not versed in the history. And I know in a roundabout way, but I really didn't know it in detail. And he said The Queen's Story is a great book.
Well, it's just repeating itself,
yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
And I think those of us who live here that have a heart, we want to be able to do something. And sometimes it's overwhelming. You shut out painful stuff in life, but we just can't do that. And
you know, it's getting to
changing.
The point where you can't do anything. They're making laws to suppress us from even attempting to save ourselves.
Well,
you know, it's reaching this point to where you're pushed in a corner.
They are us, and the same thing happening.
They're not. That's where people are wrong. They're not us. Well, they're separated. You know, I go to the voter booth and I vote and stuff, and then they take that, and then whatever happens behind those doors and the money deals everybody else pulls up, that's not me. That's them.
Well, yeah, okay.
I'll
hear you, but we are participating in it, whether or not we agree with it. We're moving along, and you know, we did see things like the March Against Monsanto and the massive demonstrations, and you know, things are waking up. People are getting restless all over the planet. But
so
your point's good.
If the treaty comes in and stamps you out, then
yeah, you're talking about the TPP, and that's something I hope to go very much in depth with, because it's like an end run around all of us. And,
well, doesn't that it directly involve all the chemical companies out on the west side?
Well, in that, the legislation that it would create would completely bypass anything at the state or county level completely. And they would be able to nullify any of the work we've done. Yeah. So
any attempt that we try to save ourselves is gone right out of the room because of that.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm trying
shovel.
To say.
Yeah,
you know, here we go. At what point are we pushed in a corner? Are we going to stand up and what do we have to do? Fight for our life?
And there's largely a media blackout on that. I mean, you could find it if you look for it, but you have to go out and look for it.
You know, I'll interject here.
Yeah.
Hard part is that the situation is so complicated and complex that not a lot of people really understand exactly what's happening to their body. And all the food that they consume and all the chemicals that they're exposed to and stuff is just, it's nothing that. Because they don't really understand what's happening. But you take, you know, people that can really understand, it's like, hey, man, you're killing me, you're killing my family, you're killing everything else around you, and I can't do a thing about it.
You know, I'm going to address what you're talking about, the Hawaiian thing, about the Hawaiian
people. This is Dave Stone. He's visiting with us, so go ahead, Dave.
It's a great point, because this is Hawaii, and the whole Manifest Destiny thing, Native Americans, it's happening here, it's happening at Kauai, that's really what it is. It's the history repeating itself, but I want to say this, what you can do, since you did ask, and this is what people should do, is they should run for public office. You should get involved.
Well, you know, it's just, it's like, I don't know. I'm losing faith in it. You know, as a young person coming off into this new world, it's like, look at what all my elders have done. Look at the rat race they've created, and look at all these little sneaky, snitchety things that they've created for themselves to protect themselves and to screw us out of our own lives, our health.
Yeah.
Freedom and ability to raise our family in a clean environment.
And you made a great comment. At some point when we're eating dead food and we're drinking toxic water and we're even breathing bad air and then we're being assaulted by media that has a clear intention to misdirect or deceive, we go unconscious. And
it's happening. It's like, actually what's happening is they're working on your brain real slowly. Dumbing down everybody is coming from the food and TV, and it's just everything that's happening isn't good. People really need to wake up and look at this. But the main thing is that we can't let history repeat. You know, just look what happened.
Yeah.
And then we came, you know, it all came to a good point, but look what's happening again. We're going down the same path.
Yeah.
You know, and especially the people that live out on the west side. I mean, I my heart beats for you every day. I can't believe some of the stories hearing. Testimony from the parents that have to have their children exposed to all this crap.
You're breaking up a little bit, but you really touch on a point that I hope to be looking into in the coming weeks, and that is how we are steered and manipulated and literally told what to think, and we're also told that if we think outside of that, we're going to be ostracized or we're a conspiracy nut, et cetera. And it's so subtle and clever, and it's brilliant. The best minds in psychology and psychiatry and sociology used to go into the healing practices. Now they go into advertising and media and social policy to kind of tweak the game. And so I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, it makes me, like, I mean, I'm afraid to even talk about it on the radio because then you're going to, like, disappear all of a sudden. Oh, shoot, where'd he go? You know, it's just like, oh, he's a terrorist. But you know what? You guys are corporate terrorists. So you're calling us, like, eco-terrorists. We go around trying to, like, you know, get rid of your GMO food and stuff. And so you guys are corporate terrorists. That's the label that you guys wear. You're terrorizing the people in your corporate. So
I'm assuming you're not talking about Dave and I. You're talking about the big...
No, just all the, you know,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Well, one of the things that I've really been focusing on the year and a half that I took off is really learning how to deconstruct the news. I came from an environmental background. I don't want to say a socialist background, but I've always been comfortable having as much as anybody else and not needing more. But I started seeing this polarization, and I have very dear friends that are on the left and on the right, Repub, Dem, Conserve, Liberal, Atheist, Religious, and I really saw that there is a third party that's outside of all that, that cleverly manipulates all sides into into being against each other. I'm up. So you got disconnected. So
indoctrinated.
Hopefully you didn't upset the wrong people there. But anyway, I think what I hear you saying is it's happening before, it's happening again. What Dave's and I talk about a lot. Dave's actually helping me do some work right now, so he just came in to see what happens at the station. But learning how to absorb information and not be led. Most of the social media sites, if not all of them, you are not the customer. You're the product that is being quantified, analyzed, and then sold to big corporations, big business, military, security, etc. Your likes, your statements about what you would do if the police busted in your door to take your guns, or how angry you are at the liberals or the Democrats, the Republicans, the conservatives. Everything we do now is turned into analytics, and so we're a product, and it's very interesting. So over the coming weeks, until they find someone to fill the spot, maybe, I really like to look at that, how to look at news, how to look at media, how to look at what's going on and not be led. I know that's something that's been near and dear to you, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's tricky. There's some very good people out there that are working on us, and I worry about being polarized on any side, because when you're completely polarized and you're angry or fearful, you're so easy to be led. I'm going to take a short musical break, 826-7771. We've got people listening from all over the country, but hey, call in. Wherever you're out in the U.S., you can reach us toll-free at 866-275-1112. I'm happy to play music too, so I'm not here to hear myself talk. I'd much rather listen. That's what I do best. So 826-7771 or 866-275-1112. I think a little more Allman Brothers, and we'll be back. Oh, by the way, this is KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, 90.9 FM in Hanalei, 92.7 FM in Anahola and Moloa'a, 95.1 FM cable, 91.9 FM around the rest of the island, and in Oahu at 104.7 FM, streaming worldwide at www.kkcr.org. This is a call-in show, and KKCR management, its staff, or underwriters is not responsible for the content of the show, but hopefully you, the listener, is. And we do have calls, so rather than play some music, I'd rather hear what's on your mind. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hey. Oh, this is you, so you got cut off.
I didn't get cut off. This is somebody else.
Oh, okay, boy.
I just wanted to say I did a lot of electrical work. I'm an electrician out in Syngenta.
Okay.
And just watched a lot of stuff unfold that's really quiet. And I was also around in Maui when the Kahalavi thing was going on. Our government, and it's just this. It's a secret zone.
Please share your stories.
If you can, without putting yourself in any jeopardy or danger, but you want to keep it vague?
Okay,
yeah.
I'll go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Kahalavi was Emma Luli, Dr. Luli from Kaunakakai, Molokai, and George Helm. Those guys were, they would paddle out from the Pali, the closest distance from Maui to Kahalavi, and then they would sit on the island while those guys tried to bomb, but they wouldn't bomb, right? Because there's obviously people trying to stop them, the Hawaiians. George Helm never made it back. I'm not going to go into that. Emma Luli did. And then on the west side out here, I worked on the base, too. A lot of secret, heavy, we're so remote.
Just a lot of stuff going on out there.
Of stuff going on, very remote, very quiet, very secret. That's my story. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. I think the, from that, what we'll take is, you know, one eye always open, if not two. And really, once again, going back to just something that's so near and dear to my heart is maybe learning how not to be polarized, learning how not to respond to fear porn, anger porn, and also acknowledging the situation, especially for those of us not of Hawaiian ancestry. I kind of get bored with white guilt because it's a way not to do anything. And I think what's more fascinating is white responsibility. And, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say every race around the world, even the Hawaiians, Indians, there have been the saints and there have been the people that have been not quite right. And they've exploited the weaker when they can. So it's not like the white people are only the bad people in the world. I happen to be one, so that's where I begin my journey. But rather than white guilt, which you get to, you know, maybe drive a Prius and put some cool bumper stickers on the back of your car, figuring out what white responsibility is. So it's going to be an interesting journey for all of us as we awaken, because I don't think we have any choice. I think something has come out of the bottle. And, you know, it tried to come out in the 60s, too. So we'll see what happens. But a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of big money and very intelligent people are here to steer public policy, social consciousness, etc. And I think, you know, we need to push back, but we need to do it from a non-anger place. And there's a lot of reason to be angry. So anyway, Dave's smiling, nodding his head. Anyway, I've got a call, but it's not on the regular line, so I'm a little afraid to take it, and they stopped. Anyway, 826-7771. This is just me kind of settling back in after being gone for a year and a half, so I apologize if it's a little bit of a vague, ambiguous show. But also, I don't want to pretend like I have a story here to go into, but in the coming weeks from 4 to 6, I really look forward to sharing a whole bunch of stories. We'll start next week and find out what happened with KSPAC, the Kokea State Park Advisory Committee. And hopefully maybe Eric will either call in or come in. I'm going to play some music. We're looking forward to your calls, but mainly we're just holding space because maybe it's not time this week, but it will be time at some point. And there's a lot of great shows that are just here simply to address your concerns, hear them, and maybe think outside the box. Play some music. Back after this. We can wake that CD up. Here we go.
Wake up in the night and know you're blind. And yet they keep on pushing, trying inside of your mind. Forever, a wrestling, control. Until the emptiness of heaven. Welcome, your weary soul.
I hate to cut in on good music, but sometimes something's even better. You're not going to believe what was just running by, and I'm not kidding, running by, and the keyword is running. So let's test that mic right there.
Check, check.
Check, check. Well, you're not going to believe who's in the studio. And before we launch into this, I want to say I invite every political candidate in during the next quite a few months, but we happen to have someone that was running by who is also running for mayor. And I'm gonna take the little treasures in life as they're dropped in your lap. And Dustin Barca, thank you.
Aloha.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
I bet you got some stuff on your mind. So you're covered with sweat. Looks like you've been running.
I just ran
literally
from Kilauea.
So you're preparing. What do you got going on this week? This coming week.
Well, we got my first campaign event. It's gonna be Dustin Barca's Run for Mayor. I'm gonna run around the whole island from Polahalli to KA Beach, and this Thursday we're gonna sail the Nepali coast around noon, looking to reach Polahalli around 2-3 o'clock, and then running to Waimea is gonna be our first day of the event, and then having an event in Waimea. Keiki Fun Run for the kids, little events, not live music. We're going to have a DJ, I think. And so that's our first event. Friday, we're going to be running from Waimea to Lihue, and we're going to be making stops all along the way, just talking story and just mahaloing everybody. And
Well, a lot of people know you. Some don't. My wife's been asking me, you know, what do you think? What do you think? I want to. You're known for surfing.
Mm-hmm.
You're known for MMA fighting and different styles of fighting on the island. And you know you've loved that. What on earth transpired to take you out of the sweet spot and the sweet life to throw yourself into politics and in the war against improper labeling or usage of pesticides or non-community participation in decisions? Whether you're pro or con science, that things are happening that the community should at least be involved in. What happened to turn you in from a guy with a groovy surfing life out in the North Shore to jumping into the political ring? What happened?
The last 5-6 years, I've been just getting into politics, learning about it, learning about the decisions that were being made on our island that were, you know, affecting us for the future and affecting our kids and, you know, certain decisions along the way, and just kind of starting to pay attention, you know, kind of started in Kilauea community meetings, going to those things we didn't like, you know, as a community, and then, you know, starting to go to county council meetings and, you know, seeing things we didn't like and seeing a lot of the decisions being made kind of behind closed doors without anybody even knowing, you know, and just, you know, that building fire of just, you know, not liking the way the systems ran, you know, and you know, seeing how it's benefiting, you know, people with money instead of the hardworking people who pay the damn bills.
Well, we're going to go deep, and I want to talk to any other candidates for mayor, too, specifically. I started at 5:11. I'm going to keep an exact tab of how many moments, and you are welcome to come in and also address Kauai and express what's going on. So, Dustin, at some point, most kids, and I say kids like people under 20, under 25, the world's happening, politics are happening by a bunch of old farts, and you really don't have any power to have an influence. And there are some people that go, well, what's Dustin's background? You know, running for mayor, don't you? There is no job description to prepare you for running for mayor. It's I guess it's a concern about Kauai and the Aina and what's happening. But, you know, what skill set are you going to bring in here?
Well, you know, it goes a lot further than just being the pretty picture in front, you know what I mean? And it's a lot more than just one person making all the decisions, you know? It's not just the mayor making decisions. It's putting together a team that can make the right decisions for the island, you know what I mean? And it's there's a lot more positions that come with the mayor. It's not just the mayor, you know, and that's what people need to understand. There's a lot of people in positions on this island that aren't making good decisions, and you know, it comes down to putting a power team together at that level of, you know, at that level of government, and really changing the way we do things around here, because, you know, the way we're doing things on this island ain't sustainable for the future, you know what I mean? And a lot of things we're doing, you know, from building along the shoreline to having the largest chemical corporations in the world experimenting on our island to being an experimental place for the military, to being an experimental place for drillings, to being an experimental place for God knows what, you know what I mean? We're kind of like guinea pigs out here on Kauai. And, you know, when you start learning the details of what's going on our island and you care about the island like I do and the people, you know, you get pissed off, and you can either just get mad and vent and complain, or you can stand up and do something.
Run for office, baby.
Yeah, Dave was actually saying one of the things you could do is, you know, you can complain, you can theorize, you can call the radio, or you can run for office. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't get elected, you got the bully pulpit, you got the debates, and you got this period of time where all bets are off, and, you know, the most powerful person still got to address somebody else that's running. And so what other issues? We all know how you feel about GMOs and what's happening in that aspect. What are some other issues on Kauai that you're inspired to look into deeper other than the GMO?
You know, some of the, me, I've been, you know, I'm born and raised, and I grew up in the community, and I'm still in the community every day, you know what I mean? I'm not you know, just going to parties and saying hi and leaving, you know what I mean? I'm there all night helping break down and set up and cook and do everything, and that's our style, you know what I mean? That's the way I was raised, but I'm deep in the community, you know what I mean? I see the problems, and, you know, drugs is a serious problem on this island, and that's one of the biggest problems we want to tackle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've lost a lot of friends to ICE and especially pharmaceutical drugs lately, and, you know, we don't have any hope really on this island other than jail, and there's no way out, and it's not just a criminal problem, it's a mental problem, and, you know, it goes further than just throwing people in jail when they have addiction problems, you know what I mean? And anybody that's grown up on this island has probably lost someone or two drugs, you know what I mean, a family member, a friend, somebody, you know what I mean? They can relate that this is an issue that we need to tackle, and, you know, creating a rehabilitation center. And, you know, with us, we want to start a lot of farming on this island, food farming. So for me, I like, why not start a, you know, create a farming rehabilitation center where people can reconnect with the earth, reconnect with themselves, grow food. You know, their sobriety can grow with the plants they grow, you know what I mean? That their plants can be, you know, a symbol of their sobriety, you know what I mean? They can plant that somewhere.
That's
and be
a
like,
beautiful,
oh, that's,
beautiful
you know
thing.
I mean? It's, a,
that
it's
is
just
awesome.
A new way of thinking, you know what I mean? And a new way out. And for me, that's a huge issue on the island, more than a road being fixed or something.
I can't remember the warden's name, but looking at KCCC, you know, 25 years ago, and looking at it now, the guy's turned the place into a garden, and a big part of his program is getting people sticking their fingers in the soil and actually growing things.
Yeah, that's awesome, you know, and the garden's growing by, you know, the month. You keep looking back there, it's bigger and bigger. So, you know, that's, to me, that's reconnecting with the earth and getting your hands dirty and working hard and really connecting back with yourself, you know what I mean? And that's important for people who have an addiction problem, because it's further than just you know, a criminal problem. It's a personal problem, it's a mental illness, it's a spiritual problem, and how can we heal these people?
Well, yeah? Meanwhile, you want to go after the people that are importing it and making
totally,
it, of course.
Totally.
Yeah.
And you know,
users are the victims.
When you're deep in the community like I am, you know how connected, you know, a lot of this stuff is and how disgusting it is, and it's time for change, you know.
When you started finding your voice outside of surfing and fighting community, and you started questioning this stuff, and you progressed, there was a point where I just remember seeing the pictures of you on the south side. The I don't know if that was called a march against Monsanto. What was the big one, the first one?
That was a march in March.
The march in March. I was astounded. I've been here 26 or 27 years. I can't remember seeing a demonstration like that where so many people actually showed up, and it was pouring rain. And I swear it almost seemed like that rain was brought in. I mean, it was...
You never see poi poo rain like that.
Especially that time of year. But there were literally thousands of people. And
I
could say at that point, I don't think you had any thought in the world about running for any political office. You were just responding to a threat.
Probably 6-8 months before that, we had a... Maybe it was a march against Monsanto Day or something. We were standing on the road in Lihue with 25 people. And, you know, there wasn't no Hawaiians with me. And my issue was, you know, threats to our land and more than the food thing. You know, I understand why the food's dangerous. It's, you know, because there's chemicals in the DNA of the plant or whatnot, and they change. You know what I mean? It's hard for people to understand at first, but for me it was the poison being sprayed on our islands and focusing off of the food thing and focusing on the threat to our aina and our health, you know what I mean? And our water and, you know, all our natural resources. And that's what I seen. I didn't see I seen the food side as dangerous, but I seen that as like a chopping the tree down branch by branch, you know what I mean? Instead of going for the trunk of the tree, which is what's going on Ireland, is the trunk of the tree.
You know, while we've got Dustin here, and it is the beginning of the political season, so once again, I really want to be clear. I'm a fan of Dustin, but I'm a bigger fan of community process and participation, so I really open it up to anyone who's running. Get in here. I want to open the phone lines if you got a few more minutes, and if people have a question, they can just ask Dustin directly, and we'll just see where it goes. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Justin how he feels about this. How about smoking on the beaches? Mm-hmm. And then my second question would be, how about driving vehicles on certain beaches?
Thank you, caller. We'll let Dustin take that.
Smoking cigarettes on beaches, I mean, I pick up cigarette butts almost every day I'm at the beach. I was at Hanalei Pier the other day, maybe a couple months ago, cruising with my son. I picked up 120 cigarette butts from the river to the pier. And, you know, smoking on the beach it comes with the territory, you know what I mean? And it comes with people, you know, it's hard to tell people not to do their recreational whatever it is. You know, I don't know what you'd call smoking, but it's a messed up trip, you know what I mean? It's a double-ended sword trying to tell people how to live their lives, and telling people to keep their butts off the beach is another thing, and that's a seriously important thing. They do it in California.
They do it in California, and it went over smoothly, and everybody took to it, and it's a great law. And I was a smoker at the time. God bless that law.
Mm-hmm. And as far as driving on the beaches, I mean, I think places like Polahalli and, you know, places where you can bring your family on the beach and enjoy the beach, and it's not like a freeway on the beach, you know what I mean, where it's like a bunch of people driving. You know, it's not that. There's certain places, you know what I mean, where I think driving on the beach is appropriate, and there's certain places where I don't. And that's just the way I feel. You know, I grew up driving on a lot of beaches, and I'm sad that I can't drive on some beaches now, but I can understand. But, you know, having the access to, you know, go down the beach by yourself, drive on the beach, go fish, go surf by yourself, it's, you know, it's something you don't get to do a lot of places in the world, and it's, you know, it's special that we have a few places we can do that here on Kauai.
Now, you've got a family. How many kids do you have now?
Three.
You've got three kids. How does your partner feel about your run? Because all of a sudden, you know, you're not only going to be married to her, you're going to be married to the island in a big way.
If you were to succeed.
Is she 100% on board?
She's definitely 100% on board. You know, she's been the rock behind me through everything I've done, and from surfing to fighting to, you know, standing against the largest chemical corporations in the world, she's had my back.
Growing up here, is there anyone that inspired you, or any local or state politicians, or any people that kind of, you know, lit a little fire underneath you, or that even maybe not be politicians, but they're community workers, etc. Anybody that you like?
I mean, around here we're lucky we get to learn from both kinds of people, on good and bad, so you can take the best and the worst from everybody and balance yourself out on, like, when people tell me, you know, good job and this and that, I tell them, oh, I learned from the best. You know what I mean? Because, you know, good or bad, I've learned from some amazing people on this island, you know, growing up and seeing how to do things and how not to do things, you know, and really putting it all into perspective and coming out the way I have, you know, and I can only say I'm a product of my environment. Yeah, we learn from the best, but I don't even know if I answered your question.
Yeah, you did.
But Walter Riddy's been a big influence on me because, okay. You know, when I first started...
He's Big Island, yeah?
He's Molokai.
Molokai, sorry, yeah.
But, you know, just the things he talked about when I seen him speak a few times, it's like, you know, bringing, you know, the real important things in life to the light, you know, not just complaining about, you know... you know, a dead end road. You know what I mean. He had somewhere he was going and a vision and
he's a farmer too.
He was something he was fighting for that he believed in and I believed in those same things. And when you put, you know, for us here in Hawaii, it's like the only things that really matter is ohana and the aina. And it's for us, it's like it's easy living. Your family's healthy. You get to go fish. You get to hunt. You get to live off the land. You know, we can survive if we have to. You know what I mean? And that's our lifestyle. And
last couple of years, we've lost some amazing ohana that everybody knew, but you didn't realize how much they connected everything, you know, until they passed. And I know Bobo and his mom too on the North Shore.
Kathy.
Yeah, just it's amazing.
A lot of people. We just lost Uncle Sonny Pereira, legendary guy from Kalaheo side. Just went to his service. My friend's father. And a lot of the legends are falling right now. You know what I mean?
And it's time for the young ones to step up. Step into the place. So, what kind of access? Say you were to be elected, how do you see interfacing with the people? Like what would kind of new ideas to interface with the citizens here do you see that might even bring more people into the process?
I think it just, you know, it comes down to going community to community and getting them all to work together, you know what I mean, as communities. It's everybody's so on their own trip and we all, you know, everybody works their butt off every day just to pay their bills around here and you know, we elect these officials to, you know, make decisions for us and we trust them, you know, but it's come to the point where people aren't making decisions that we can trust. And it comes to the point in life where, you know, town by town, house by house, we got to start coming together, community by community, you know, island by island, you know, country by country, state by state. We got to start coming together because everybody's so on their own that the world's turning into going on its own, you know, it's going on its own path to destruction because everybody's just doing their own thing. And, you know, there's
so many
there's
of us.
Just a bigger picture, you know. Yeah. For me, I'm lucky. The surfing, you know, I travel, been on every continent in the world 10 times each, probably, you know what I mean? And I've been to some really crappy places and some awesome places, but I've learned a lot about, you know, life and what really matters in life and how lucky we are here on Kauai and how we probably live in the most special place on earth.
So you know? Beautiful.
You know, your mom is someone I dealt with a lot over the years. She's been very active. She would call in a lot. She goes out of her way during the off season to register voters. Really without caring what party they're in or where they're coming from. She just wants them in the process. And I noticed she's excited to kind of jump in, too.
Yeah.
We got Dustin Barca in the studio. It's 826-7771. Completely honest to goodness, unexpected. The guy's covered in sweat and mud and kind of got some running gear on. And I think literally was running by Dev. Unlocked the gate and brought him in. So if you want to talk to him, 826-7771. Otherwise, I don't know, maybe time to get back to the road. But
yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I look forward to maybe even having both you and our current mayor in and any other candidates and maybe have a live roundtable.
Anytime.
I don't know. I get scary because it's live, it's unscripted and uncensored. So, sometimes people don't like that stuff, but I like it.
I love it. Yeah. I'd love to have a, face-to-face and, really see whose intentions are pure for the future of the island.
The mental octagon.
We've got a caller. Before I take the caller, I want to ask, how can people get in touch with you or your campaign, or if they have a concern or a question, or if they want to participate, or if they're worried about perspective? How do they get in touch with you?
Everybody can go to our website, www.barca4mayor.com, and you can see our whole game plan and what we want to accomplish in our seat at mayor, and things that we want to, the direction we want to go. And you can also donate money and email us and get a hold of us any way you like from our website. And we're on Facebook, Barca for Mayor, Instagram, anywhere you can follow us and come see what we're all about.
I'm excited for this campaign season. A lot of good candidates out there. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, this is pretty exciting. One last question. What would you do if you were mayor tomorrow and want to address the traffic going from, say, Kilauea out to KA?
What would I do from Kilauea to KA right now?
Yeah, it's going to get bumper to bumper.
It is, personally, I think that we're just letting too much tourist cars on the island. It's like our island's like an elevator. Someone broke it down like this. Yeah, you can't overclog an elevator if it's just not going to work, And our island's kind of structured like an elevator. We can't keep bringing in mats and containers and mats and containers of tourist cars. It just ain't going to work with us. So for me, like right now, I'd put a cap on the tourist cars.
What would you talk about? Public transportation?
I'd put more money into the bus system. I think we got a great opportunity with our bus system if we just put a little more into it. And not everybody likes to catch the bus, but I think working with our hotels and tourist industry and working on a better way to get people places instead of this bumper to bumper thing, because it ain't working, then any of us who live in the North Shore.
Can I just put in my 2 cents?
Yeah.
Is I get friends down there that they were helping this problem by letting people park, and then some alley guy had squealed, and they got shut down. It seems to me, if you're Hawaiian, I don't care if it's the kind state, land or whatever. They're calling it something, that's why they can't do it or whatever.
Yeah, those are my friends, too.
Are you talking about by tunnels?
These families that have been down there a long time, if they, make some money by letting the tourists park in their yard, they should be able to.
Totally. I totally agree. Those are my friends out there, too.
You got my vote, man.
Mahalo, mahalo.
Okay.
We appreciate it. Aloha.
All right. Hey, Dustin, before you take off, let's say around the world and here in Kauai that the tide turns a little bit with large agribusiness. And suddenly the West Side sees things changing, and they lose those jobs. What goes in to fill that vacuum? How do you look at that? How do we deal with that if there's a vacuum created in the labor force on the West Side? And I'm not saying that's a reason to keep those businesses there, but what's an alternative?
Well, that's something we've been working on for a while, and we can't just complain about the problems. We got to have solutions. So, we just legalized, for UH to use hemp. For
industrial hemp.
Experimenting at remediation experiments. I think Kauai would be an awesome place for hemp remediation. And, I think hemp is... What people don't understand is you can't get high on hemp. It's not a drug. They tried to play it like it's marijuana, and you can get, it's a total different thing. Hemp has 3 money-making products out of 1 plant. It has the food source with the seeds and medicinal. It has the bark is used for clothing, rope, and then the inside's used for concrete.
Yeah, hempcrete's amazing.
So, you know, we did a seminar with this guy. He taught us about the hempcrete. You know, you take somewhere like Hawaiian Homelands, yeah, and you got 100 acres for Hawaiian Homelands, but it's shot from sugarcane for the last 100 years, you know? So, you know, you grow for 10 years before they break down hemp, remediate the soil. You save up all the hempcrete. You do all your roads, houses, everything out of hempcrete. You're saving 40-50% of your material and pricing just by growing hemp on your property, remediating the soil. And then you know what I mean? It's like, it's such a no-brainer for me to get involved in something like that that is you know, something that makes a lot of money, remediates the soil. It has everything we need here in Hawaii.
We got another caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
How's it? Are y'all a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Dusty, what's up, brother?
How's it?
You know, me and you, we born and raised over here. I've been born and raised on a modeling track.
Yeah.
Question for you, Al. What if you're mayor tomorrow? What do you do with all the agriculture guys? You know, on the west side, you know, the Monsanto guys in Genta?
Yeah.
Just shut it down?
Personally, if I had the ability to, I would, because, you know, they're not producing one bit of food for our island. Everything they're doing is experimental. It's, you know what I mean? We're not benefiting any which way from these people being here, from these corporations being here. They don't even pay the proper taxes for our laws here in Hawaii, so they're getting away with murder, literally. Mm. So for me, if I had the power to, I'd kick them out tomorrow because... You know, what they're doing is not only illegal, but it's a threat to our lives and our natural resources lives. And for me, that's if I had the power to, I would kick them out.
No, it sounds good, but the thing is, what about those other people who are out of a job?
Exactly. Well, that's another, yeah, that's another side, and that's an important thing, you know what I mean? But, you know, is 500 jobs worth 60,000 people's health? You know, you got to put those things in perspective. And you know what I mean? With the boats in Hanalei, they shut that down and took a lot of people out of jobs too. But you know what I mean? They survived and they persevered out of it. And that happens all over the world. You know, businesses come and go. And if they're not doing right, then, you know, it's not right for keep them here.
I think I heard Dustin say, though, you can't just go for a solution without looking at the whole problem. And he was looking at jobs. And we were talking right before your call about... industrial hemp, was just approved for that. So, but good question though, because you got to look at the whole problem.
If that's the hemp, yeah, maybe you grow some hemp or something. You know, like,
oh, that's one no brainer for us. It's, you know, it's a big money crop for Hawaii, and we'd be making a lot of money, and it's not bad for our soil. It remediates the soil, makes the soil good.
Hey, caller, I got a few other calls. You got any last questions?
By the way, how old are you anyway?
32.
I'm an energetic guy, man.
32.
Hey, man, go for it, bro.
Yeah. Right on, brother.
You said they want you in your jiu-jitsu match. I want to see how you look like.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have some more.
Hey, thank you, caller.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Dustin.
Aloha. Right.
Bye-bye.
That's awesome.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to add that the seed companies, what they're doing is criminal, absolutely criminal. And I think the plan... Hello?
You're still there.
Oh, hi. I think I got disconnected.
No, we had a cross line. Go ahead.
Okay. What the seeds companies are doing is criminal. Absolutely criminal is what I was saying. And I think the idea for the remediation of the soil with the industrial hemp, it would provide jobs. That's what these people don't seem to look towards the future, is that we do have a plan that we can create new jobs, and it doesn't have to be, you know, what it has been, this, I mean, it's what the same type of agriculture that we've had with the pineapple industry and the sugar cane, you know, it doesn't have to be that way, you know. We can have a new type of industry come in that will benefit people, that will stay here on the island, and also smaller scale farms that create food. There's such a big industry right now for food, farm to table.
Yeah, it's. I think it's the time to really push, you know, Kauai grass-fed beef, you know, sheep, chickens, you know, all kinds of veggies, everything you can grow on the island. You know, it's time to really start bringing that food to table right here at home.
Well, a lot of politicians or people running for politics are afraid to take an absolute, direct, and complete stand on an issue. I think the previous caller got you to take one, and that's your feeling about what would happen out on the West Side. And there's no political gamesmanship there. You're very clear on what you see as the right future for Kauai.
Well, the information that I learned about these companies, I definitely think it's insane that they're here. And I've spent a lot of time and effort learning about what they're doing and listening to their lies, and now they're suing our county for just protecting us and wanting to know what they're doing. So that's a red flag right there. It tells you, hey, and now they're giving kids in Kapa'a school, got all these cartoon books with pro-GMO propaganda teaching our kids that, hey, you need this to grow this and this and that. And it's like, this is, if anybody that grows anything that is healthy for you would never, ever have to go and bring a book and tell kids that they're good. And you know what I mean? It's like, it's propaganda, you know what I mean? It's making people believe that you're good instead of proving that you're good. You know what I mean?
Well, it's so complicated, too. I just noticed recently UH took a $500,000 grant from Monsanto. So there's going to be studies and funding for studies that come out of that. But we have to always be clear what's the agenda, who's behind it. And I'm not even saying that's bad. I'm just saying if we don't know who the players are and where the money's coming from, we're not aware of the whole game. Caller, I've got a couple other callers on the line. You got any last questions before we move on?
One other thing. You know, sure. We just had Dr. Hayes here at the college last week, who was magnificent. He had so much funk and personality, just the loveliest person ever, and so brilliant. His slideshow was incredible. And I didn't see our own mayor there or any of the, any of the people that work in his department, in his group of individuals that he has working with them there to see what he had to say, And I just find that kind of a drag that they didn't get that opportunity to really hear another side. It seems like our current mayor is very much siding with the GMO companies. I think he's afraid of losing jobs, whatever, but he's not paying attention to some other science that was proven to be...
Yeah, well, we've invited the mayor and the county council, Derek Kawakami, everybody to every march and everything, but they never seem to show up and listen to the people. So, it's that's why we're doing what we're doing, and that's why we're getting involved in politics, because... it's all about the people. The people are the ones who pay the bills, and it's time to bring the power back to the people and take it away from the corporations.
I went to a graduation party on Sunday night, and I brought my voter registration forms with me because there was a bunch of students that just graduated that are at like 17 and 18 years old, and so I started registering voters at the party, and that was exciting to get them all hyped up. But anyway, good job, Dustin Barca. I'm so excited for you, and... we'll see what happens.
Thank you.
Thanks, caller.
Mahalo.
All right. Well, I think we'll let you hit the road.
Yeah, better before I lock up, get cold.
Yeah, I can see it getting cold.
Your skin is sweating.
So thanks a lot. I'm going to put a little music on, get the DigiCart loaded up. I think we've got some jazz coming up. But we got jazz with John at 6 o'clock, so we got a little bit of music. Any final thoughts, Dustin?
Anybody this weekend, Thursday through Sunday, will be running the whole island of Kauai. So,
and you're talking literally running.
Literally running the island about 20 to 30 miles.
Except where you can, and then you're going to paddle around that part.
Paddling around the Nepali, or sailing canoe, Hawaiian sailing canoe.
Amazing.
And, paying respect to all the... heiaus that we know of, that we have respect for and been working on, and all the mokus that they're unveiling this Friday is exciting. They're showing all the moku boundary lines, and it's we're slowly working in the direction we hope for, but with our current people in the positions they're in, there's a dream for our island to be a certain way, and to be this farming epicenter, and to be this, there's a 2020 county plan, that has this dream for Kauai. It's 2014 now. With the direction we're going on this island, I see us being the exact opposite of the county plan, you know what I mean? And if you go look at it, it's super cool, and it's something that we'd want to bring to life for real and make happen by 2020. You know,
you got
I mean?
Time for one more call?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go ahead, caller.
Hey.
Hey.
I just like to see him out with All Hawaii Stands Together by Liko Martin.
That's a good one.
All right, well, thanks.
Mahalo.
We're going to play a little music, let Dustin get back on the road. And Mayor Carvalho, if you happen to be running by the station next Tuesday or any time when I'm in here, you have an open invitation, as well as all the other political candidates. Call up, work it out. That there's nothing more I would like to do for the next 6 months or so until we get to the election than to have all of you guys in here, men and women alike, and tell us what you're doing, why you're doing it, and how you want to get it done. And thank you, Dustin, very much. Good luck. And I look forward to an exciting and vigorous time where, boy, the debates are going to be great. The community participation is going to be amazing. And there's a lot of new blood and a lot of incumbent blood, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Everybody
out there.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Everybody out there, you know, sign up to vote. We need everybody to vote because let's bring it back to the people. When the people decide, things start happening. Mahalo.
Little musical break. I'm going to get some station business loaded up, and we'll be back in a couple minutes. Thanks, Dustin.
Oh, how what a pleasure. Stand together.
All right. We got Cousin Rich coming in doing the jazz tonight, so sorry about that. And some interesting phone calls. And I just want to be very clear, especially for KKCR, hold us to a high standard. Our job is not to give any candidate free political advertising. So my invitation goes out to anyone running for any position in this county. We'll fit you in. I'm into it. I love a vigorous debate. I love everybody getting their airtime. And if, you know, it's sometimes dangerous for a candidate to come in, an incumbent to come in when there's all this new blood, but a really good professional candidate's going to get in there and address the people. And I know our current mayor has been on the air often, so hopefully we'll get him in here. But I want to say we had about 38 minutes of Dustin time, and I'm going to keep a little log myself too, as we have to do in the station, so we make sure we have equal access. This is a community radio station, so if you know somebody running, please let me know, or one of the other talk show hosts, and we'll fit them in where appropriate. But my show, as I'm filling in for Felicia Cowden as she's running, who knows what the station's going to do. But in the near term, I would love to have any of the candidates on, because she did a great job of bringing the focus. I used to kind of focus on the big picture all over the place, and she brought it very down into the state of Hawaii and Kauai, and did a great job, and kept her eye on everything else too. So in keeping with that spirit, I want to keep it local. We're just about out of time, so I'm going to run through our different underwriters. We had a great fun drive. And, boy, congratulations to you, the listening community, everyone who participated, because the main point of having a community radio station is not being beholden to advertising, corporations, or any of that. And all that is often great in its way. I'm not anti-capitalist, but there is a wonderful, wonderful place for radio station and other forms of media that are not having to please their advertisers. So our job here is to hold the space for you. Keep the phone lines open. We got some good jazz coming up, and that was honestly unscripted. So 38 minutes in the bank for Mayor Carvalho and any other mayoral candidate. And as things progress, if we have different county council candidates, incumbents, or newcomers, we're going to keep that all fair and square, make sure we hold the space for you. Your questions might not be something about what we're talking about this week, but maybe next week or the week beyond. So thanks for helping KKCR stay on the air, too, to everybody's great. And I'm going to sign off, and at the top of the hour, we're going to do the county council report and fade into Cousin Rich, probably spinning some great jazz. Aloha. And thanks, Dave, for coming in.
Mahalo.
All right.
Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty, and Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty, also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at balihigh.com or by calling 826-7244.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's the county council report for the week of May 26th. There will be a regular council meeting Wednesday, and it will start at 9 a.m. and will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here's some highlights from the agenda. Under the consent calendar, the mayor is submitting his supplemental budget for fiscal year 2014-2015 and proposed amendments to the budget bills. Public hearing was held on this on the 21st of May. Council Vice Chair Chalk transmits for consideration a resolution encouraging the use of alternative dispute resolution, that's ADR, methods for conflict prevention in the County of Kauai to increase the awareness of the various ADR processes and to encourage our county to resolve disputes in an impartial and peaceful manner. See resolution number 2014-33. Councilmember Bynum transmits for council consideration a proposed bill amending the county code relating to real property taxes to include agronomics as an additional real property tax rate classification, to amend the definition of agricultural use, and require the Director of Finance to submit annual reports involving all agricultural dedicated properties. See proposed draft bill number 2546. Councilmember Hooser and Councilmember Raposo transmit for council consideration a resolution expressing no confidence in and requesting the resignation of the county attorney. See resolution number 2014-35. The county clerk transmits a 2014 charter amendment petition relating to a new article to protect from hazards of GMO agriculture, toxins, and testing, establish an administrator of environmental health, and provide for enforcement, submitted by Petitioners Committee, Kauai Rising. The county attorney requests authorization to spend up to $15,000 to retain special counsel to advise the council concerning coverage under the county's insurance policy with Everest National Insurance Company in connection with the lawsuit Tim Bynum versus the county. The county attorney also wants authorization to spend up to $50,000 for special counsel's continued services in another legal matter. These requests were deferred from the 14th of May. The Executive on Transportation requests approval to accept a donation of 4 full-size transit buses from the City and County of Honolulu, and they will be used to address growth in demand resulting in the overcrowding on several bus routes. The County Engineer recommends Council approval to secure a construction right of entry in Governor's Executive Order for a portion of the Lihue State Building to provide additional parking and sidewalk modifications along Hardy Street in Lihue. The Committee of the Whole has on their agenda the resolution establishing real property rates for the next fiscal year, and this was approved. They also have on their agenda 2 financial bills, which were approved as amended. There will be a non-public executive session to provide the Council with a briefing concerning the coverage provided by the county's insurance policy with Everest National Insurance Company for attorney's fees arising in connection with the lawsuit of Tim Bynum versus the County of Kauai et al., and also a briefing on special counsel's continued representation of Harry Barriga and Sherwin Perez in Linnell Tokuda versus Chris Collio. If the council is not finished with this meeting by approximately 1:30 p.m., it will recess for public hearings on Resolution 2014-27 relating to the Cost Control Commission, Resolution 2014-29 relating to setting golf.